Ooh, I feel the love in this place this morning. I mean, I'm telling you what. Oh, man. Good to see Mike Owens playing, and whoever gave him the shout-out, that was great. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. We wrap up our teaching series today on 3 John, the Gospel Highway of Hospitality. Let's open up the scriptures to 3 John, and we'll read the rest of this letter. Here we go. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Awesome. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, you gave us this letter many, many years ago. And the beauty of Scripture is that it's still instructing us now. And so, Lord, help our hearts be opened. Help our minds to be ready to receive your word. And God, even more, help us apply in our lives. Change us that we might become more like Jesus. That's our prayer today. In his name, amen. All right, so we are in the final week of our teaching series, Route 66, the Gospel Highway of Hospitality. We have learned that the grace of hospitality is not just an ancient world thing, it is a right now world thing. Why? Because it's a Jesus thing. It's a Jesus thing. Loving God, loving our neighbor, making room for God, making room for neighbor in our lives, showing our neighbors that they are totally worth it. This is what hospitality is all about. Showing someone else the love of Christ. Why do we do this? Well, because as 3 John chapter 1 and verse 3 called us to do, we are supposed to walk in the truth. That's what we've been after this entire teaching series. Walking in the truth, what does that really mean? It means we're called to be imitators of Christ, as Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 tells us. We're called to be imitators of Christ. Say it with me. I'm an imitator of Christ.
I'm an imitator of Christ.
There we go. Imitators of Christ, to follow him so closely that we do what Jesus does, that we love how Jesus loves. And people imitate one another all the time. You're very much a product of your parents, friends, teachers, important mentors in your life. Maybe you've been deeply shaped by cultural icons. Maybe it's a sports figure that shaped you. Maybe it's an actor or actress, whoever it might be. We are shaped very much by imitating other people. In fact, as Daryl and I were preparing for this worship gathering today, he reminded me of this video. You could tell the people from Chicago are, right? I love it. I love it. Yeah, be like Mike and drink Gatorade, too, by the way, while you're at it. You know, clearly, I am not like Mike. If you've ever played basketball with me, that there is no hope of that for me. But whether it's Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Taylor Swift or Jennifer Lawrence, people imitate other people. And it's fascinating to me how much we imitate, especially in our culture today, cultural icons. A lot of folks are taking everything from parenting to medical advice to you name it from some of our pop figures. Consider, for example, ALS. ALS, the disease, it received funding for research, but about a year or two ago now, athletes started dumping buckets of water with ice in it on the top of their head, and it caught on like wildfire. In fact, ALS took in $100 million over the last couple of years for research, because people wanted to imitate other people. They saw these videos being put up where other folks are challenged, or whether they gave money or not, I guess, is another thing. But they wanted to imitate what it was that was going on. You have to be careful, though, who or what you imitate, yes? Because who or what you imitate shapes who you're becoming. Who or what you imitate shapes who you are becoming. You see, when you imitate somebody, your values, your behaviors, your thoughts, all of these things are being shaped by whoever you're imitating, yes? You might not even think about it, but it's happening, I guarantee you. In fact, you gain a sense of this this morning in John's opening words to us. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. This word imitate, we might also translate as mimic. We get our English word mimic from this Greek word. You could even translate it as follow. Do not imitate or do not follow what is evil, but what is good. And this is a significant word because this word imitate or mimic, see, people in the ancient world, they believed that the earth, that this reality, this creation as we experience it, is an imitation of who God is, what God is like, the ultimate reality of life beyond, the resurrection, heaven, whatever we want to call it. So everything that we experience here below is an imitation of what is above. Now, obviously, it's gotten a bit messed up along the way. This is what sin does. So when we experience goodness, love, mercy, grace, peace, when you look at it and go, yes, that's it, what you're seeing is an imitation, it's a copy of who God is. A God of love and mercy and grace and peace and justice. This is why we're called to imitate Christ. We're called to follow him. It gets even better, though. When we imitate Jesus, we don't surrender our own individuality. See, as we imitate Jesus, we become more like him. You know, I remember when Luke, probably about 2 or 3 years old, we went to the store, and they had one of those little guy shaving kits, you know? Like all the other stuff kind of made over in China. It's got this little razor thing, and you wonder, like, is this going to cut my kid's face to shreds, even though it's plastic? So, you know, in the morning, my favorite time, because I put our kids on the bus 3 days a week, my favorite time is getting ready in the morning. And one of Luke's and my favorite songs is I'm the Man. You know this song? I'm the Man, I'm the Man. So, you know, we kind of stand there. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of visuals here, but you know, we put our guns up, and sometimes he shaves with me because he's imitating me, which can be bad or good sometimes. But what my goal with my son is, and just as it is with my little girl, Sarah Margaret, I want them to be the best version of who God created them to be. And it's the same deal when we imitate Jesus. We don't imitate Jesus to become someone else, we imitate him to become the best version of ourselves, which God has already created. And see, that's what's beautiful about imitating Jesus. Jesus wants us to become who we were created to be. We don't have to be Michael Jordan or somebody else. We just have to be who we are. And to be assured in that we are a son or a daughter of God, that God loves us, that when God created us and put his fingerprints all over us, he went, yes! Not, oh, well, you know. You know, and that's what's so hard about our culture is people are imitating other folks because they're not happy with who they are. And yet when God looks at you, he says, yes. Yes. That's my person. That's my person I'm going to put in the world for a very specific reason, for a very specific person reason to change the world and to change the lives of other people. Just be you. And as you imitate Jesus, you become more fully you. And this is what Jesus wants. This is why Jesus is constantly, throughout the New Testament, saying these words, follow me. Come after me. Do what I do. Know what I know. Love how I love. In fact, when you say you're a Christian isn't like, well, I go to church. A Christian literally means you're a little Christ. And we imitate the character of our Father and our Lord, and we are empowered by the Spirit. So let me ask you, who are you imitating lately? Is it Jesus or is it someone or something else? Who or what shapes who you are? Are you becoming the best version of you that God has created you to be? Or is something like selfishness, brokenness, hatred, manipulation, or the like being cultivated in you? And you see, when we imitate Christ, we begin to live this verse of Scripture out. It comes from the Beatitudes. Jesus says to us, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh boy, now it gets hard. Wait a minute, I'm not perfect. I don't know anybody who is perfect. Completely agree. Completely agree. But when we imitate Christ, not out of our own ability, not out of our own power, but as Jesus begins to sow into us and change our hearts and change the way that we think and change the way that we love others, we become complete. This word perfect, we might understand it better as complete. We become complete as God is complete by imitating Christ. I mean, this is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. Somewhere along the way, we made the goal of the Christian life conversion. As soon as I pray the prayer, that's it. No, that's where it starts. Because God loves us the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way that we were. I mean, this is what we have been after the whole series. When God's love becomes perfect, becomes complete in us, we're able to love other people, and sometimes people we don't even like. How many know that's grace? Yeah, that's what imitating Christ is all about. So you can do what you can't do. This is why we need God. And we do this. We make room for God. We make room for others. We can do this because Jesus first forgave us, because Jesus first invited us in. Because Jesus gives us a new heart and new life. And as we experience his goodness, as we imitate that goodness, it changes the world. Let's pray. And especially this morning, we want to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Florida. For our brothers and sisters, I was just talking with Juan here a minute ago in the Dominican Republic. They only experienced Category 3, which we're much more grateful for than Category 5. But still flooding and all kinds of rough stuff that they're going to have to overcome. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that the waves and the wind still bow to you, and they always will. And so, God, this morning, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the Caribbean. We pray for those brothers and sisters who are living in places that are flooded right now, places where homes have been destroyed and where life feels like it has been turned upside down. And God, we pray that you would move our hearts to action, to be hospitable, to be generous, to give because we've already been given, to serve because we've already been served. And we pray for those brothers and sisters all throughout the South. We pray for Florida. And we ask, God, that you might weaken this storm, that you would even turn it back out to sea. Hold them close. And God, somehow out of this horrible evil, we pray that your majesty and glory and grace might be seen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to encourage you, give to the Red Cross, give to UMCOR. If you really have to go to the store to buy supplies and make something or do something, see me afterwards. You can put together some flood buckets that the United Methodist Church sponsors. Every time there's a flood, we put out flood buckets for folks. So I'd love to talk to you about that afterwards. But give. Give and be generous. You know, it is that time of year when people start coming back to church. I love this day. It is on my calendar. I love summertime, as Manny knows. If it were up to me, weather would always be 90 degrees. It's wonderful. That's right. Summer's wonderful. But I love this Sunday because everybody starts to come back to church. The vacations come to an end. We have great events coming up like our fall kickoff. We've done this teaching series about hospitality, but the big thing is I see it as kind of like a family reunion. The family gets back together, and for about 8 months, the family really digs in and does life together. Where else can you go to church where your head of personnel team wears a pink bunny suit to a Halloween party? I mean, what a great gig. I love this place. But it's like family, and that's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a family. And I want you to get a good look this morning as you look around the sanctuary and as you've already connected with one another. This is your family. I mean, sometimes I think we forget that. Church becomes a place that we go, and like we do our time, and then we leave, and that's the end of it. No, this is a family. I mean, take a look at these brothers and sisters. You're going to see them a long time. Eternity is a long time. And that's what, really, when we gather on Sunday morning as a family, what we're doing is we're practicing for a reality that we're all going to experience. I mean, I picture heaven as being one great big worship gathering. A book of Revelation does the same thing. And nobody's complaining about the music or, see, Daryl, you'll be in heaven. I mean, get to know these brothers and sisters. And over again throughout this teaching series, we talked about followers of Christ practicing the virtue of hospitality. When you see someone you don't know in this family on a Sunday morning, here's my encouragement. Get to know them. Well, they might have been here a long time. I don't know their name. That's okay. They might not know yours. You just say, hi, help me remember your name. And then when you forget it the next week, then you can say, I know I've met you, help me remember your name. And love them well. Because this is your family. I mean, this is exactly what happens in our letter today. There's somebody named Demetrius. We've looked at Gaius thus far, who was a great example of hospitality. We've looked at Diotrephes, who was not a good example of hospitality. Now we meet Demetrius, who was, again, a great example of hospitality. Why is Demetrius significant? We really don't know anything about him. I mean, I searched everywhere for Demetrius. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who this dude is. But he's important enough that John wrote about him. And what's significant is Demetrius, the name literally means belonging to Demeter, who would be the Greek goddess of fruits and crops. So there you go. You got that for free this morning. Now, why is that important, Brian? Well, because here's this guy who is part of a family and grew up outside the family. He grew up outside the family. He wasn't a Christian always. I mean, because he was named for a Greek goddess, we know that he didn't grow up in a Jewish home to a Jewish family. He started outside the family. He becomes a Christian, and now he's a key part to the family. And part of what he realizes is imitating Christ means you bring other people inside the family just the way, same way the family has brought you in. That's what you do. I mean, if Jesus invites you in, then you invite other people in. And I imagine Demetrius probably had to give up a whole lot to be a Christian. Today, it's like, yeah, whatever. What church do you go to? Then you lost family, your biological family a lot. Sometimes you would lose your wealth. You would lose friends. You would lose power. You would lose influence because Christians were a bunch of whack jobs. I suppose they still are, but it was even worse back then. And so here is this person who we don't even know a whole lot about other than he's in 3 John, which is one of the more obscure books of the Bible. And yet John makes a point of saying, this guy gets it. He's an imitator of Christ. He walks in the truth. He follows Jesus. He loves his brothers and sisters well. Do you love your brothers and sisters well? I don't know about you, I don't really watch the news a lot, but sometimes you get these stories in the news, they're completely amazing. In fact, one of my friends here, they said, hey, you got to see this story of a brother who is loving people well down in Houston after all the flooding happened. I want you to take a look at this little video clip.
Sleep, and I had a burden on my heart. I was like, God, somebody come help. So I drove 18 hours, came down here, and somebody, you know. We just come from a time in Kentucky where people used to love people and use things, and it seems like the world graduated to using people and loving things, you know. And there's a lot of good people down here, but I feel right at home down here. Some of these little boats are struggling with the current, and they're having to rescue, you know, so that's why they're kind of cautious, I guess. But I'm just thankful that God can use me to do a little bit of something for somebody, and glad to meet you and glad to know you.
All right, well, and you're actually...
Imitator of Christ? Yeah, imitator of Christ. Jumps in a boat, sees some brothers and sisters who are hurting. He got in a car to drive the boat. Put the boat in. You get the point. But I love what he says. We used to love people and use things. Now we use people and love things. I suspect this didn't come out on his own. I think I've heard something like this elsewhere. But what an important lesson about who or what we imitate. See, biblical hospitality is not cognitively difficult to grasp. It's not hard. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't need lots of training. It doesn't require a program. You don't have to have all kinds of fancy technological gadgets. You don't have to have all kinds of leadership. It just requires God's people being committed. Committed to following Christ, committed to imitating Christ, and to doing it. I mean, how does Jesus change lives? He invites people in. Over and over and over again, he invites people in. In fact, I love this. I was reading this the other day in Luke chapter 14. He goes to a banquet because Jesus is always eating, which is what I love about him. And he says, he said also to the man who invited him, that would be to the dinner, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. For you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. See the key word? Invite. I mean, over and over again, invite people into your life. And as you do, do so with a purpose. This guy didn't just go down to Houston with a bass boat to pull people out of the water. That was part of it. Part of it was loving his brother and sister who were in need. When the moment came and somebody asked, why are you doing this? What did he say? Because God sent me. And because I follow him. Here's the last thing John the Elder says. He says, peace to you. The friends send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. What brothers and sisters can you invite to be part of this community that need a family? How can we help our guests feel connected from the first moment they walk in the door? See, I worry we've gotten a little institutionalized lately. That connecting with other people is the job of a connect team or a hospitality team. No, it's not. It's your job. You get to make people feel welcome. Well, I don't know them. Well, good. Take a risk. Say hi. Get to know folks. Invite them in. Help them feel like family. Let them know this is their home. Love on them well. Why do we do that? Well, we do it because Jesus did it first. Well, that's not my gift. Well, that's bull. I mean, really? Somebody did it for you. If you come here week after week, somebody did that for you. And I guarantee you, if nobody did it for you here, well, then Christ did it for you first. And that ought to be good enough. See, hospitality isn't just one team or one person's task. It's everybody's opportunity. And that's what I leave you with. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the way you invite us in, for the way that you love us. And the beauty of the gospel is that while we were yet sinners, you gave your life for us. It wasn't that we were perfect. It wasn't that we were good. It was that you loved us and you loved us well. And you saw children who were hurting and broken and in need. And so you gave your life and you were raised from death to new life to grant us real life now and eternal life to come. And so Jesus, this morning, we desire to make room for you in our hearts, to renew our commitment of faith by sharing that we are sinners, that we are in need of your grace, and that we need a Lord to lead us. And we thank you that that invitation always stands at every moment to become part of your family. God, by grace, help us receive it today. And we pray as a family that you would help us be hospitable, whether it be in our neighborhoods or schools or at our kids' ball games, the places that we socialize. God, help us invite others into the kingdom of God. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Great ways to get involved and to serve. Let me bring up the chorus one more time of that last song, Lost Our Found. Can we put that up there for you? This is the vision for the kingdom of God. Do you get that? So, like, when we invite other people in, when we desire to walk in truth, to be imitators of Christ, this is the invitation that we're making. It's the invitation of what the kingdom of God on earth is really all about as it imitates what it is in heaven. So I want you to realize this week, when you live a hospitable kind of life, when you invite other people into the life of Christ, this is the kind of reality that you're pointing to. I'd love for us to stand and sing that chorus one more time before we leave today.